KCR 101. Get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host and emergency room physician, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome back to ER 101. Our medical news of the week are the new guidelines about treating heart disease. And last week, the American Heart Association and the American College of Cardiology came together to write new guidelines to prevent heart attack and stroke. And what was interesting about it is they put a calculator on and they talked about how perhaps more people would benefit from the use of statins. And then something came out recently this week that the calculator perhaps was wrong. So Dr. Tim Fischel has been kind enough, as a very well-known cardiologist in the country, to come on and discuss these guidelines with us. So thanks for staying elucidating on some of these new guidelines. So what made them think that there needed to be new guidelines?
Well, you know, this is the way these things work is they put a group of expert cardiologists together and they try to come to some consensus looking at, you know, everything that's been published in the last 10 or 20 years, dating back maybe to the Framingham study and other risk factor studies looking at cholesterol treatment and high blood pressure treatment. And they tried to come up with a formula not so much to focus only on what your cholesterol is, but to sort of focus on what is your risk of having a cardiovascular event and to define people who are at high risk, moderate risk, lower risk, and then to basically say that if you're in high risk for whatever the reason, then you probably should be treated with a statin, which is, it makes some sense. I'm going to say, you know, based on the feedback from a variety of experts in the field who could easily have been on the panel or were on the panel and dropped off the panel because they disagreed with these guidelines, these new guidelines are controversial. Perhaps, we used to focus mainly on the number, on a low cholesterol number as the main target, and now they're focusing more on the overall cardiovascular risk and saying that if you're at high risk of having an event like 5 or 6% per year, a risk of having a stroke or a heart attack, then you should be on a statin, perhaps even if your cholesterol isn't very high. Now, that's controversial, and there's going to be a lot of debate about this, and I have my own opinions about whether these guidelines make sense.
Well, what's interesting is when, and I actually was talking on Fox Business News about it, they asked me to be on, and what I liked about what I was reading was it isn't just a number. You know, people get so focused on, you know, this one thing, the number, and they really were looking at everything. They were looking at diet, and they were looking at exercise, and they were looking at other risk factors, and I kind of like that part of it. Now, you know, some people were saying, oh, this is going to be a windfall for the pharmaceuticals. Were they behind it? But, you know, basically a lot of statins now are off patent. So it's, you know, you don't have to use one that's on patent. So I didn't think it would be a windfall. But, you know, they were talking about doubling the number. And now statins do a lot more than just lower cholesterol, right? They have some other properties that maybe are helpful.
Yeah, I think what we know is that in general, and you know, some people get this controversial, the statins have a very, you know, robust data set showing that giving statins and lowering LDL, bad cholesterol, does correlate with reducing cardiovascular events. It's kind of funny that everyone's focusing on the people who are going to get statins because they have hypertension, other risk factors, and not necessarily a particularly high cholesterol. Now they're going to start getting statins, and that will increase the number of people on statins. I'm also worried on the other side of it that people who have high LDL but aren't necessarily in other ways high risk, that their high LDL is not going to be necessarily treated under these guidelines. So I think it cuts both ways, and I have to say I have a strong bias that human beings are born with an LDL of around 70. And in my book, I talk about this as well. I think that there is evidence that if you can get your LDL to that level or lower in, you know, throughout your adult life, then regardless of almost whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, you're going to have a much lower cardiovascular event rate. I think we're meant, humans should be, with low LDL if you want to reduce the formation of atherosclerosis over your lifetime.
So you had an interesting approach, because we talked about it before, that you maybe don't even have to take your statin every day if you, you know, exercise and do the other things that are good, but maybe you can take it every other day and still get the benefit of it.
Yes,
right?
this is probably one of the greatest secrets, and this I will blame on the pharmaceutical industry, who wanted to sell a lot of statins. They made these drugs an everyday drug. In fact, all of the statins work by going to your liver and preventing the liver from making its own cholesterol, and then the liver cells turn on the machinery to make receptors to suck cholesterol out of the blood. But these receptors last about 30 or 40 days. You only need to tell your liver to make the receptors two or three times a week at most.
Wow.
In order to have a profound effect on cholesterol. So I personally think that the right messaging, and if we ever had the right trials funded by the NIH, we could show that taking a statin twice a week could lower your cholesterol by 30 or 40% without many of the side effects, and let's say at one-third of cost. So maybe we have twice as many people on it, and we're still spending less on statins than we are today, as people are instructed to take these drugs every day, which I believe is not necessary.
Wow, that's interesting. And you're very influential, so maybe you need to talk to the American College of Cardiology and talk to the American Heart Association, because, you know, and have them look into that as part of the new guidelines. But, you know, I do say it does go both ways, because in the past, you know, people were not changing their diet. They weren't changing their exercise. They were just taking the statins. And although maybe the studies do bear out that it can reduce incident of heart attack or stroke, but what does it matter if you're, you know, heavy and your sugars, your triglycerides are high and all these things, just if your LDL is really low? So it's kind of both ways. It is a more holistic approach, what they're trying to do.
Yes, and of course that makes total sense. What really matters in the end is both the quantity but also the quality of your life. And so, in my opinion, to have high energy, to have strength, to feel well and young and fit and active into your 50s, 60s, 70s, even 80s, requires a real mind shift among Americans about how they eat, how they work out, how they build muscle, how they take care of themselves, checking on their cholesterol, lowering their risk, not smoking, doing all these things. If you want to live a long, productive, healthy, and high energy level life, then it should be across the board lifestyle modification. It's not just taking a pill.
Right, and I think that's what people were missing. Everyone was trying to say, you know, on the business channels, oh, the pharmaceutical companies are doing this and that. But I think it was an attempt at not just looking at that isolated number. So even if your cholesterol was okay and you were diabetic, you had other risk factors, and maybe you would benefit from that. So I think it kind of got a bad rap. Maybe the calculator was a little off because it was old data. But like with anything else, you always got to go talk to your doctor, you know, have this frank discussion with them, and they'll tell you what they think the risk was. Well, I want to thank Dr. Tim Fischel. A fascinating book, Burn Calories While You Sleep. Get it on Amazon. And some great perspective on this idea of the new guidelines. So this is ER 101. I'm Dr. Lee Vanocur on Radio MD. Stay well and tune in to your health.